No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
A question for you, Mr. Manouk, as we sit here on Sunday evening. You being the expert of all things random and stats related.
Oh, boy.
When was the last time the Jets and the Moose each won on the same weekend, Saturday, Sunday? I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. So I'm just trying to figure that's something for you to research over the course of the next hour or so. And you can let our audience know, because the Winnipeg Jets and the Manitoba Moose have pulled off the rare, at least we assume it's rare, 4-for-4 weekend. They each won on Saturday.
Yeah,
the Moose won earlier this afternoon. We'll talk about that later on when you do a Moose Minute. And then tonight, the Winnipeg Jets headed into Buffalo, despite trailing 1-0 and trailing 2-1 in the course of this game for a second consecutive day. They pulled off a third period comeback, a team that entering this weekend had had 2 third period comebacks all season long, have now doubled that number to 4 on the strength of today's 5-2 victory over the Dallas Stars. Not the Dallas Stars, the Buffalo Sabres. I got confused as to who was playing the Stars and who was playing the Sabres. Already, there we go. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Jets win 5-2 over the Buffalo Sabres. There you go. I'll get it right on the second time around. A gutsy, gutsy effort coming back twice in the course of this game and taking over in the third period, much like they did yesterday in Carolina. And Big Bang took Little Bang. Sorry, I'm still in a bit of an ice cube mentality as the Jets, the better of the two teams, decided they were going to take the 2 points to the bank and leave the Sabres without anything in the column. How are you, Dave? Good to see you.
I'm quite well, Drew. Thank you for that nice preamble. A good welcome to the show, of course. It has been a good weekend in Jets land. It has been a good weekend in Moose land. Folks are happy. The Jets will be off tomorrow, the Moose, because by virtue of their 2 wins, will also be off. I'm reliably informed by the Moose folks. So days off well-earned by the NHL and AHL clubs of Winnipeg, who picked up 4 points as they swept their weekend games. And important for the Jets to, I thought they were the better team in the first period. I don't think anybody's going to question that. I think they slowed down in the second. And while folks could point out that this Buffalo Sabres team is not going to be a playoff team, they have been hot of late.
7-2-1 in their last 10 entering tonight.
And they also defeated a pretty good Golden Knights team yesterday handily. I believe the final score was 7-2 in that one. So
they put up a touchdown.
And that was at home in Buffalo. So they were feeling good in the hood. Well, the hood being Buffalo, but they were feeling good in Buffalo. And again, they've got a lot of good young talent. And we've talked about it on this show. We've talked about it on the Illegal Curve hockey show primarily, especially when we're talking to Marty Baron. But yes, I mean, this is it was an important game because once again, I mean, we talk about Connor Hellebuck, but Josh Morrissey has been an absolute beast for this hockey team, and his assist obviously in the first was a phenomenal vision by him. And you know, it just you can just see it. He's taking over games and just over and over again. 44 has done it for this Jets team. So full kudos to him, because I thought he was excellent in the course of tonight's hockey game. And the Jets, we talk about these 16 games. March has already started. There's 16 games in March, but they have a nice little lull here in the sense that they play on Tuesday, so they'll have day off tomorrow.
Yeah.
They'll play on Tuesday against Seattle. Then they don't play Seattle until Friday again at that home-and-home series. So you'll have a nice little break for the Jets and whomever else joins the Jets. Of course, Drew, with the trade deadline fast approaching on Friday. But ultimately, this has been it was an important game for Winnipeg because you didn't need the points. You could have, you know, not like Colorado got pounded by Nashville yesterday. Yep. So it wasn't like you're sitting there. But again, this just goes to show that this Jets team, despite the they're frauds meant, you know, yeah, comment.
Despite what what a player told the guys on Spitting Chicklets,
yeah,
that the Jets are the biggest frauds and they're going to lose in the first round. Maybe I'll pull up that clip if I can get it handy.
Sure.
Maybe I'll pull it up a little bit later on in the show. We can bandy that about a little bit.
Sure. But the point is that, you know, it's more just about, you know, that idea of being patient. And, you know, they killed the penalty while down 2-1. And, you know, you felt like if Buffalo had scored and made it a 3-1 game, I'm not saying it would have been impossible, but it felt more unlikely. But again, it's the second game in a row now. And they pointed it out on the broadcast, and it's worth mentioning, but this team has done very well in back to backs. They are now 6-0 in the second game of a back to back. So, I mean, it's all pointing towards the Jets club. And I haven't looked at the math yet. I'll do that when you start talking, Drew.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is, what is this, game 60, and it's their 39th win. So I'll go back and I'll look where they were relative to 17-18 and where they were relative to last year. But I'm telling you, it's probably significant. I know they were getting close, that they were a little bit ahead of the 17-18 team.
Yeah.
I suspect this will pace them a little bit more, and they're, because we know what happened last year. But again, it bears repeating, right? This is now 9 wins in their last 11 games. So this team, that slide that folks were worried about when they had that five, oh, this is the start. The slide is happening. The five
the slide is gone. There's no slide.
0-4-1.
Yeah.
0-4-1. And instead now you're riding. And like I said, they've won their, whatever the record is, 9-2-0 in their last 11. Mm-hmm. So it's unless there's a shootout loss or an overtime loss that I'm missing, Drew, but I don't think I am. So they're 9-2-0 in their last 11 games. And any talk of a slide is in the past, because this team has banked enough points and they've done well with what they've been able to accomplish.
With the win today, they moved to the top in the second place team in the entire NHL. If you look at points percentage, they're second place team in the entire NHL. They're the top team in the Western Conference based on points percentage at this point, because they still have games in hand on all these teams. It's not unreasonable. Not by a long shot is it unreasonable to talk about the Winnipeg Jets in the context of the President's Trophy. And that conversation has sort of gone a little bit by the wayside. We know earlier in the year they were up there. It's certainly within reason that the Jets could be a President's Trophy winner at the end of the regular season. Now, time will tell on that front, and we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But you have, when you factor in, I don't think you can talk about today's game without talking about the third period last night. Or yesterday against Carolina, and how important that third period was for the Jets, and how they sort of built upon that today. This was a game against the Buffalo Sabres that the Jets were the better of the two teams by and large. I know that, as I mentioned, they were trailing at two different points of time by that goal each. But if you watch the course of the play, especially in that first period, they had a lull in the second, and in that third period, the Jets just said, like good teams do, we're not going to lose this game to a weaker opponent. And they just took over the game. And they took over the game on the stick of Josh Morrissey. And they took over the game on the stick of Nikolaj Ehlers, who had a number of great opportunities, even if he doesn't ultimately get his name on the score sheet. Mark Scheifele, Morgan Barron. I mean, the contributors were up and down the Winnipeg Jets lineup, because this team is now, I think this team is feeling themselves in the sense that we're going to win games. We're just going to be able to, you know, as March has begun, when we're playing at our best, we're going to impose our will. And there were a lot of games there for a while that the Jets weren't playing their best at. And we talked about those games and we mentioned that, and they themselves mentioned that. I think that yesterday's comeback might have flipped that switch again for the Winnipeg Jets. Because you pull off that comeback against Carolina, well, that's a pretty damn good team you're scoring 5 unanswered goals against. Then you come into Buffalo today, and the Sabres are just playing out the string. And the Sabres are the prototypical, you know, selfish team, in the sense that they only play well when it ultimately doesn't matter. That's the sign, by the way, of a losing franchise. A team that goes 7-2-1 when they're already out of it, when it doesn't matter anymore. You're seeing Ottawa do something similar. Losing franchises go ahead and do that. Now, it's hard to overcome that, and we're not going to delve deep into the issues that permeate the Buffalo Sabres organization. Our buddy Mike Harrington of the Buffalo News, there's tons of great guys who cover the Sabres if that's where you want to go with that. But the Jets are right now, when you're are in that winning mindset, when they can go and they can say, no, we're not going to lose this game. We're going to find a way. We're just going to be the better of the two teams. And that's what they certainly were in the third period today against Buffalo. I really didn't have any doubts about this one, I'll be honest. Even when they were losing, based on how they came back yesterday, based on that comeback yesterday, I didn't see this team then coming into Buffalo, both teams playing on the second halves of back-to-backs. I didn't see the Jets laying an egg against Buffalo. I think they knew that they have too much confidence in themselves at the moment to drop a game like that against Buffalo, where they can use this game and they can flush what happened on Thursday against Dallas. Look, nobody's talking about that anymore because the Jets, with their games in hand on Dallas, are now ahead of Dallas because you went into Carolina and you won, and you went into Buffalo and you won. Yeah, you're still concerned about how you match up against the Dallas Stars, and time will tell on that come playoff time and everything else. But for right now, for the games that you have in front of them, the Winnipeg Jets are feeling themselves and saying, no, we're not going to let ourselves down. And I thought you saw that tonight in the third period, Dave.
Drew, that was a trip to the buffet. Let me tell you, I felt like Weber was in the room right there, but that's okay because he gave me an opportunity to do some crack research. Now, I haven't figured out the question you asked me.
Okay.
But I do know that
the chat can go do that research.
Yeah, the chat should
do
that.
You folks stop freeloading and off Dave and I. Somebody go do the research, find out when the last time the Jets won on a Saturday Sunday and the Moose won on a Saturday Sunday. I'm going to tell you what. If somebody finds that out, whoever finds that out, they win the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment tonight.
Ooh. Well, I was just going to say, so just a quick one, although it'll be just a little heads up. It'll be easier to look at when the Moose have won twice on a weekend, and then you can compare that to the Jets. But actually, I don't think it's that far. I'm pretty sure, actually, all you have to do is check my Twitter. I'm pretty sure I would have said some sort of cliche tweet about that. But speaking of my cliche tweets, 39th win of the game, as I mentioned, in game 60 this year. Last year, that came in game 70. And in 17-18, win 39 came in game 65. So well ahead of the course that they were on in two of the most remarkable seasons in... Oh,
okay. Rob Mahoney's saying it was November 16th, 17th, 2018. We'll have to fact check that somehow or not, but we're gonna figure that out to see if Rob Mahoney was right. I starred that comment, so we'll look that up throughout the course of this
podcast. But you said the most recent, Drew. You didn't say when did it happen at any point.
No, the most recent time. Yeah. But it's entirely possible that it's been 6 years since that happened, because you got to find a weekend that the Jets that both teams played Saturday Sunday and won Saturday Sunday. So it could have been 6 years. It's not impossible that it was that long ago. So we'll find out about that.
Yeah, that's fair. Anyways, the point is though that let's get back on track. I mean, unless you want to turn it into a Moose show, which I'm happy to do. But no, the focus of course here is the Jets. And look, ultimately this is another, you're not going to call it a critical win because, you know, you're playing the Buffalo Sabres, so you put it into perspective. But two tired teams that at points in this hockey game looked like tired teams. I thought both goaltenders came up with some big saves. Laurent Brossoit continues to pick up win after win after win. The likelihood of getting him in a Jets jersey to continue his backup of Connor Hellebuck is not looking very likely, Drew. But that's, of course, a story for the summer, not for something right now. Because, of course, despite what some of the people are saying is of trading Laurent Brossoit, I don't think that's going to be happening. No, of course not. But I remember when there were some people saying that. So anyways. People were saying, I heard, but anyways, look, it comes down to, again, like I said, this is a Jets team that, lost Gabe Vilardi, obviously, after the Dallas game. He's back in Winnipeg. We'll probably get an update on him on Tuesday. You get Brendan Dillon back. He's feeling okay. You had Cole Perfetti back in the lineup, of course, replacing Rasmus Kupari. So he was on the fourth line. It seemed, Drew, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, but maybe this is preamble conversation, that Nikolaj Ehlers had finally earned his spot alongside Mark Scheifele and Kyle Connor after everything we saw in the third period of yesterday's game. I keep wanting to say last night's like you were earlier, but of course it was yesterday morning / afternoon's game.
Yeah.
So you had Ehlers on to start the game and then Namestnikov with Monahan and Iafallo. But then to start the second period, I believe, right? Second period?
The switch was made at the end, in the second period.
Yeah, it was at the end. It was at the end. It was right when the Jets got a power play. I think it was right at the end of the second period. The Jets got a power play, and I noticed that Namestnikov was on with Scheifele and Connor, and I thought, okay, well, it's possible it's just a shift, you know, gone awry or something. And then to start the third period, Ehlers was still on the second line with Monahan and but you know, I mean, again, you can call it into question, but they did make the change. Namestnikov did set up both of those, you know, some opportunities, and they got the win in the third period. So you may not like it, you may want to see Ehlers given more opportunities, but ultimately, I mean, they scored 4 goals in the third period, 2 of which were empty netters. But
I don't know that I like the move either. I mean, I said that I charitably described it as perplexing because I thought in that first period, that line was in control when they were on the ice. Mm-hmm. It did work. Look, it worked for the Jets, you know, in the third period. You know, Connor, Scheifele, Namestnikov had an expected goals for percentage of 91%. So they were great together in that.
We don't believe in small sample sizes here.
We're talking about 5 minutes and 48 seconds. So, I mean, and when Connor, Scheifele, and Ehlers were together for their 8.5 minutes at 5-on-5, they had an expected goals percentage of just under 64%. Okay. So both of those lines, all those combinations worked well today. I don't necessarily know that I understand the reason for doing it, but I think it's a function. I mean, I think what you saw tonight, you know, is that the Jets were just a better team than the Buffalo Sabres. And I think you saw that for the vast majority of the game. So with the only line that had a bad expected goals percentage
was
and really was caved in, you know, Corsi-wise, happened to be Perfetti, Gustafsson, and Barron. Yeah. And of course, that's the line that gets the game-winning goal. or Morgan Barron gets the game-winning goal. And we'll get into that in the Betway game recap coming up here momentarily. But for the life of me, I really didn't understand the move at that point to switch Namestnikov and Ehlers because I thought that Scheifele-Connor-Ehlers line was going pretty well.
That's why you're not a coach. That's why you're doing this show. This isn't called the Coach's Show. It's called the Illegal Curve Postgame Show.
That's right.
Where we offer pedantic analysis.
In front of 450-plus people, great to see everybody on this Sunday night. Jets win, of course, 5-2 over the Buffalo Sabres. If you haven't already done so, smash the like button. That's your job. That's what we ask of all you folks.
Make sure you're subscribed.
You got to subscribe and you got to smash the like button. You get to watch the show for free. You get to be regaled by Dave and I, no cost at all for the regaling, but you got to smash the like button. You got to subscribe. You got to tell your friends and tell your family the best place to be after each and every Winnipeg Jets game. And again, on Saturday mornings is here on the Illegal Curve post game show and the Illegal Curve YouTube channel.
Drew, we're approaching, we hit the 6,000 mark on the channel, and that's good. But word of mouth, folks, and I was going to say, you know, the other thing, and I noticed some folks do it, and I appreciate it, whether you go on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, but the liking, the sharing on the social media, on for illegalcurve.com, this isn't about the show specifically, although I often tweet out the YouTube channel, Drew, but we do appreciate that because that definitely gets new eyes and ears on our channel and our website, and we appreciate that. So if you can, we appreciate it.
That we do. Let's get into the nitty-gritty of tonight's game. It's the Betway game recap.
The Betway game recap.
Big thanks to our friends at Betway for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. If you're looking for a place to place a wager legally, safely, with confidence, knowing that your wager is being handled by professionals, Betway is the place to place that wager. Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. And of course, Betway and us here at Illegal Curve, first and foremost, want you to please play responsibly. First period, Jets controlled the majority of the first period, I thought. The Jets had some good scoring chances in that first period. We saw Ehlers, Scheifele, and Connor dangerous together each and every time that they were on the ice in that first period. Nonetheless, though, it's the Sabres who open the scoring. It's a power play goal. Mason Appleton is in the box for interference. It's on a 3-on-2 rush by the Jets. Appleton gets a little bit too eager with his net drive. He literally just drove the net and drove over the goaltender for the Buffalo Sabres, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and he went to the penalty box as a result, leading to the Sabres on the power play. JJ Paterka finishing off a beautiful passing play from Kyle Okposo, a grizzled veteran if there ever was one, and Jeff Skinner, another veteran. Great passing by the Sabres. I thought that Brendan Dillon took maybe just one false step. If you look at the replay as the Sabres are moving the puck around nicely, I think he takes one step towards Okposo, and then Okposo gets it over to Skinner, and just that one false step gave Skinner enough room to get it over to Paterka. I'm not blaming Brendan Dillon for this or anything, but I think that was the false footwork that opened up the gap that the Sabres were able to hit. And Paterka, getting his 20th of the year, made no mistake, beating Laurent Brossoit 1-0 Buffalo with 2 minutes and 27 seconds to go in the first period, Dave.
All you can do is just be calling that a poetic goal. I mean, it's beautiful. It really was a thing of beauty. And, you know, Dylan DeMello, it tries to get tied up. He's kind of turned around, and Laurent Brossoit has no chance. I mean, that pass is world-class. And, you know, we've heard, you know, I've mentioned Marty Baron because he's the name that gets evoked when you're talking about Sabres, and JJ Paterka gets his 20th of the year. He's someone Marty's been talking about quite a bit. And that's, again, it's a beautiful shot. And you're right, Drew. Okposo is a veteran, so that's a real nice play. And the one thing I'll give them credit for, and like the Jets, you know, we heard on the broadcast, obviously we don't pay a ton of attention to the Sabres, despite the fact that former Moose Jets legend Eric Comrie was backing up today. But,
right,
you know, the one of the things that they said on the broadcast was how good their power play has been in Buffalo, similar to the Jets of late. So the number one element I noticed was speed. They didn't hold on to the puck. They made quick decisions, and it was on and off their stick very quickly. And similarly, it was in the back of the net very quickly, and the Sabres had a 1-0 lead.
Yeah, that they did. And if you're the Winnipeg Jets and this is late in the first period, you're probably feeling a little bit bad because you've had a pretty good first period. You've controlled the majority of that first period. And it looks like you're going to be down by the goal. You know, the Jets had 64%, 63% of the possession 5-on-5 in that first period. They had, you know, 3/4 of the high danger chances. They had expected goals at almost 82%, yet you're down 1-0. But the Jets don't, in fact, head to the dressing room trailing by a goal. With 6 seconds to go, the Josh Morrissey Show, which has been playing to rave reviews for the last number of weeks, continued to get those same rave reviews. He sets up Nino Niederreiter for a goal. Niederreiter's 17th of the year. Look, it's a fantastic play by Josh Morrissey to be able to sort of look off the pass. Everyone thinks he's going to shoot, but he finds Niederreiter, and Niederreiter in tight is able to sort of, you know, chip it at the difficult angle past Luukkonen, which was a great play by Niederreiter, a great play by Morrissey to set him up, and a great play by Pionk to set Morrissey up. Pionk getting the secondary assist on this play. And he, you know, his efforts here can't also be overlooked in keeping the puck in and being able to hit Morrissey with the pass that Morrissey was then able to move in and find Niederreiter for the redirection to tie it up at 1 with 6 seconds to go in the first period, Dave.
Well, I mean, I think the key, Drew, is play to the whistle, right? And don't play, you know, keep pushing. And that's what you want to credit the Jets. And you're right, Drew. Neil Pionk, who is often lambasted for some of his giveaways. And he had a pizza or two in this game, as did Dylan Sandberg. There were a couple of tired plays, I would call them, by the Winnipeg Jets, tired giveaways that resulted in chances. But Laurent Brossoit came up and made some big saves. But yeah, I mean, look, it's a nice play by Neil Pionk, and it's world-class vision by Josh Morrissey. I mentioned it in our preamble, but I mean, it's a beautiful play. I mean, it's his 15th assist in the last eight games. He's on pace, which is crazy to say because I didn't think there was a chance he'd come close to 60. We're going to have to go back, Drew, and listen to the very first episode of the Leo Kerr Hockey Show where we did our over-unders. And I actually think at the beginning of the season,
not the first one back, 14 years ago.
No.
Morrissey wasn't on the Jets 14 years ago, but the first one at the beginning of the year, you mean?
Yes. And I may have gone over, and I don't, and I was like, I felt like Morrissey was going to have a repeat of the season. That could have been for points, maybe not assists, Drew. I don't recall. But you, of course, as the gatekeeper of those stats would know that information. But it is amazing to think that he is now, I think he was on pace as of yesterday for 58. So he'll be in the upper 50s for assists if he keeps this pace up. Yeah. And it doesn't look like he's stopping. And you credit Nito Niederreiter. But like I said, it, that play, you give Pionk credit for getting the puck back and getting it over to Morrissey. And you give credit from, because we often say, just shoot the puck at the net, something can happen.
Right.
Which is true. But the credit for Morrissey for not just throwing it at and hoping, having the vision to see Niederreiter and get it over to him quick, and Niederreiter veteran play, side of the net. And it's amazing when a guy is feeling it versus a guy who isn't. You know, the play, you mentioned it, the one that led to the Mason Appleton penalty, which, of course, led to the goal by J.J. Paterka. I mean, Appleton is just a little handcuffed by the pass on that, like where he's trying to get it. And then, of course, he gets the goalie interference. And you can just tell like Mason Appleton isn't feeling it right now, right? It's just not there right now for number 22.
His hands are rarely there. I mean, he doesn't have great hands. I mean, that's the reality of Mason Appleton as a player. And you're right. He's struggling a little bit and he's not real, that's just Mason Appleton, sort of the player he is. He doesn't have that depth scoring touch that you need to be a scorer in this league.
Well, that's why he's not in the top six, right? I mean, despite the fact that Rick Bonus sometimes puts him there because they want a right shot guy, but yeah, I mean, he's not a top six guy, which is fine. And you know, for a six round pick in 2015, he's doing pretty well for himself, making himself an everyday NHLer. But you know, it comes down to the fact that you can just see the difference between Niederreiter, who's playing with that confidence, and again, veteran beside the net, knows where to be, knows where to put himself into a position, soft ice, and now you've got a one all game. And look, again, only 20 minutes into the game, so it wasn't critical that they scored, but it just changed the tenor of it. It rewarded them for a really good first period because, you know, if you end that first period and you're down 1-0, you're feeling rather disappointed because you played a fairly structured game within the framework of what your team likes to look like, and yet you're down 1-0. Instead, you tie it with 5.5 seconds to go in the first, and you feel validated for the way you've played.
Yeah, exactly right. Your performance in the first period gets validation. That's a good word for it. So 1-1 after 20 minutes in Buffalo. Second period starts, and it's not as good of a period to begin for the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, I didn't think it was a catastrophe or anything. It's just they didn't control the play like they had. It was much more of an even period. Even Buffalo probably had a bit of an edge. They had an edge in expected goals, in that second period. They had an edge in possession in that second period, and they do end up getting the lead again. It comes, the only goal in that second period, it comes off the stick of Eric Robinson, assist to Peyton Krebs, assist to Zemgus Girgensons, still one of the best names in hockey. And, you know, Perfetti, who is another guy who's been struggling, as we all well know, and I was a little surprised to see him back in the lineup today, to be perfectly honest. I thought he'd sit for the entire two-game trip, but he got back into the lineup on that fourth line, playing with David Gustafson, playing with Morgan Barron. And he just fails to knock the puck out of the air. He's trying to glove it down. It's just a middle ice flip, just a flip in the neutral zone. He's unable to knock it down. Peyton Krebs picks it up. He feeds Eric Robinson. It doesn't look like it's going to be necessarily a dangerous opportunity, but the shot deflects off of the stick of Dylan DeMello, and it eludes Laurent Brossoit. So the Buffalo Sabres in this one take a 2-1 lead just before the halfway mark of the second period. They are up 2-1, but you can't talk about the second period, and you can talk about this goal, Dave, but you also have to mention the Sean Monahan breakaway, which was about 30 seconds into the second period, where he very nearly put the Winnipeg Jets up 2-1 if it wasn't for Luukkonen making probably what I would say is one of his better saves of the game off of the stick of Sean Monahan.
Yeah, and he made a lot. I mean, the one, the Josh Morrissey in the third period save with using his helmet.
Yeah,
was a heck of a good save.
Before the Jets tied the game.
Yeah, so he, yeah. I thought he made a number of really nice saves. But I mean, this is just a play where the Jets. This is one of those plays I thought where the Jets looked a little slow, and you know their fourth line is out there for a rare shift for those guys, and probably not the best goal. I think Lauren Brossoit probably would want it back, but you know. Of all the guys to have to try and elevate and show off his vertical in the neutral zone, Cole Perfetti, probably not the guy. To be honest, you know what he looked like watching the replay, Drew? He looked like me in softball where I'm going forward, the ball's going behind me, and I'm like, oh boy, well, I got to go back to the wall and get that ball. So, you know, unfortunately for Cole Perfetti, just not needed about 4 more inches. Drew's heard that before, and ultimately he ends up, you know, it goes up and over his head, and I kept rolling. And then look, they beat Lauren Brossoit from fairly far distance. I mean, it's not, again, like I said, it's not a great goal. And yeah. I don't think there was anything like it. Don't think went off Dylan DeMello in any capacity.
I think it hit the DeMello stick.
It redirected
or knuckled a little bit. I thought
I was going to say it could have fluttered a little bit because you could see based on DeMello's reaction that he felt, and maybe Brossoit's sharp, quick look at Dylan DeMello. But I mean, again, it's out from fair distance, but ultimately it's a 2-1 goal. And look, Buffalo was the better of the two teams, I thought, in the second period. They take advantage of their opportunity. Eric Robinson, who they claimed off of waivers from Columbus, I believe. So
I think it was a trade, if I'm not mistaken, like a late round trade. So not a significant one, but Eric, I mean, I could be wrong on that one. It certainly was a depth move at the very best for two teams not going anywhere at all this year in Columbus and Buffalo. But sometimes those teams get together and rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic a little bit. But good for Eric Robinson getting the goal. I mean, I'm sure he wants to, you know, make a good impression on every NHL team that he plays on, because that's the kind of guy he is. He's the kind of guy who's always in a battle for a roster spot. So anytime he can get on the score sheet, he'll say thank you very much and not apologize for it whatsoever. But that's where the second period comes to an end. A 2-1 Buffalo lead after.
Niedermeister is telling us it was Robinson for a 7th.
There you go. I thought it was. See, there you go. I knew it wasn't quite waivers, but it's basically the equivalent thereof of waivers. Yeah. Not a big difference between that and waivers, but Buffalo up 2-1. The Jets have to get another come from behind victory. Again, something that they haven't been especially adept at this year. They were yesterday in Carolina. Can they do it again in Buffalo tonight? We say good evening again to everybody joining us. Almost 500 of you here on the Illegal Curve post-game show. If you haven't already done so, smash the like button, subscribe to the channel, subscribe, and make sure you don't ever miss an episode of this program. We do it after each and every Winnipeg Jets game, which means we'll do it Tuesday night, we'll do it Friday night, we'll do it Saturday night, and we'll do it again Saturday morning with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. And you know that the trade deadline's coming up, so if something breaks regarding the Winnipeg Jets between now and the deadline, don't be surprised if there isn't an Illegal Curve pop-up show. And the only way you're going to know about that is by following us on all of our socials and, of course, subscribing, so that as soon as we go live, you get the little alert on your phone and you go, hey, the Illegal Curve guys are on. Let's see what's going on with regard to the Winnipeg Jets. That's why you need to subscribe. 2-1 Buffalo after 40 minutes, and the Jets start the third period much better. They start the third period and play that third period similar to how they played that first period, where they were by and large in control of the game. But it does take them until almost the halfway mark of the game. They've had chances, they've had opportunities, they haven't been able to tie it up until Josh Morrissey gets his 20th of the year, assist to Scheifele, assist to Domestnikov. He's getting hooked on the play. There's a penalty coming to Joki Yarhu for the hooking penalty, but Morrissey says no matter, he's going strong to the net, and he manages to squeak it through Luukkonen. A huge goal for the Winnipeg Jets. Not a great goal by any means. It's a save that the Sabres goaltender should make, but the Jets are not going to apologize, and Morrissey's not going to apologize. He's going to say, finally, I got a goal. All I've been eating is apples. That's all he's been eating. He wants something more. He wants something a little bit more substantive than all these apples he's been eating as of late. Well, he gets a goal here, and the game is tied up at 2 with about halfway, about 9 minutes and 22 seconds still to go in the third period, Dave.
Yeah, and I just think this showed the will by 44.
Yeah.
I really did. Like, I mean, look, they Neil Pionk took a hit. You know, we mentioned it earlier. He takes the hit to keep the puck going in the neutral zone towards the Sabres' way. And so you credit him for that. But I just, again, like I said, it comes back to Josh Morrissey's aggressiveness. Mm-hmm. And really, you could see wanting to put this team on his back a little bit. Nice, assist by Mark Scheifele. He gets it up and over. Similar, actually, to what we saw the other day in the game against Carolina, where they kind of slipped the puck through, and then Mark Scheifele was able to score on the power play in that game. But instead, this one goes to Josh Morrissey. So, you could feel the momentum was starting to change, but ultimately, I'm not surprised that it was Josh Morrissey, because he had been, you could just see it, and I don't remember if this preceded that goal or came after Drew, but the hit in the heavy hit in the corner that he took
when he was shaken up.
When he was slightly shaken up a little bit.
That was earlier in the third period where he was slow to get up and sort of slow to skate off. But you're right. Anytime Morrissey goes down, you hold your breath
and
your,
that's right.
Your stomach gets into your throat if you're a Winnipeg Jets fan.
That's right. So, you credit him, because you can just see, again, Connor Hellebuyck, we talk about, MVP. Mm-hmm. Mark Scheifele right now, the way he played in that third period, your forward MVP. And Josh Morrissey, again, that's not rocket science. That doesn't take any sort of, huge leap of faith to say you're MVP for what he's doing for this club, because he does it night in and night out. And while he may be underappreciated in markets that are not Winnipeg, we know that, you can definitely appreciate what 44 brings every single night. And that determination and desire to win is evident. And that will to put the team on his back. Mm-hmm. And really, again, like I said, take hits. Keep the puck in the zone, like walk the line, and then ultimately, in this instance, score a goal. Like you said, Drew, he's been eating a lot of apples, so he got rid of the Granny Smiths and the what's your favorite one again? You like the ladybirds or whatever they're called?
Pink lady pink apples. Ladies?
Yeah, there you go.
So I can't believe you remember the type of apple that I like. That's very sweet of you. I'm a little touched by that. I got a little tear down my.
Thank you. I'm a Red Delicious guy, of course, because that's all we got in the North End. But
that was it. The North End grocery stores didn't.
Well,
didn't
we stole them actually. We stole them from the South Enders, but the South Enders actually pulled the trick on us, because you made us think that you wanted the Red Delicious, but really you were just hoarding your lady berry, pink berry, whatever they're called.
Pink lady apples.
Pink lady. Anywho. Yeah. Okay. Primetimer also loves Red Delicious apples. So there you go.
Does he live in the North End also? I mean, I have to find out.
Although my mom loved Macintosh.
Mr. Boy Bruce is saying that he had a pink lady apple earlier today as well.
There you go. Pink lady. Is your boy Bruce is living the life. Anyways, ultimately Josh Morrissey though is leading the life, because he ties the game at 2-2. And on the goal, Mark Scheifele picks up his 699th point. So while it seems like it was like 10 minutes ago, he was being drafted in 2011.
Yeah.
He gets a 699th point, and some more useless potpourri, courtesy of myself.
Yes.
Josh Morrissey moves into top 5 all-time games played for wearing a Winnipeg Jets jersey with Brian Little. So he, I think it's 561 for Josh Morrissey. And Drew, I said, it feels like just yesterday, it was 2013.
Yeah,
that's right, Joey. Although Joey went to the, I think it was Joey went to the Moose game. So Joey had a good time at the Moose. I think it's the same Joey. I hope it is. But Joey was, look, Joey, no, not only are we talking about apples, now everybody is talking about the type of apples that they like. This is the kind of segue that we do here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. And right now, hey, look, the Jets are getting apples. They're getting wins. Folks are happy. There's over 520 of you right now in the chat. Things are happening. But it's a tie game, 2-2. Courtesy of Josh Morrissey.
And it's the same Joey that went to the Moose game, courtesy of us here at Illegal Curve earlier. And yes, if anybody has a contact with the apple growers of Canada, please let us know, because I think we have a built-in tie-in. Just the apple growers, come on board. We'll advertise for you based on our preferred choice of apple here on the show.
Drew, just a quick sidebar, because I had the question. I don't know which, I didn't look, but the truth is also scouts. So Snack, who's asking me what scouts were watching the Moose today. Tuesday.
Yeah.
There were none that were scheduled to be here this weekend. All the teams generally have their scouts now, if they're
in-house.
They need them in-house. So everybody goes to their respective cities and they kind of they talk about what they've been scouting for this week ahead of the trade deadline. So there are sometimes scouts still. And I know Mike McIntyre or Kenny Weeb was, I think Kenny was doing it actually, sorry, because Kenny's not on the road, but Kenny was talking about what scouts were watching. So there are sometimes some stragglers, but I think most of the scouting has been done and most of those guys are in their respective cities, getting ready for the upcoming trade deadline.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Good update there on the scouting issue as I'm keeping up to date on everyone's Apple choices here in the chat. But things are going well so far on this Sunday evening edition of the Illegal Curve post game show. 2-2 for between the Jets and the Sabres. You're down to the last 9 minutes and change to go. And who's going to make the next mistake? Who's going to blink? Is there going to be a glaring error like there was against the Carolina Hurricanes yesterday, where the Hurricanes shot themselves in the foot and the Jets took advantage of it? And I wouldn't say it's as glaring as the Kachetkov mistake was yesterday. But on this one, it's also Morgan Barron, the game-winning goal, his 10th of the year, assist to Cole Perfetti. So great for Perfetti to get on the score sheet. And it starts in the Jets zone. It starts with a good board battle in the Jets zone where the Jets are able to move the puck up the ice along the boards. Perfetti with just sort of the flip out of the zone, and Barron goes after it, and Peyton Krebs is back for the Sabres, and he sort of bobbles at the puck, hops over his stick, and then Barron comes in, and it's not a breakaway. It's another shot that has to be saved by Luke Konen. It's a great goal for Morgan Barron, his first in, 21 games
21.
For Barron?
Yeah, 21. So
first goal for Morgan Barron in 21 games. But at this point of the game, at this point of the contest, the save needs to be made here because Barron is really at the end of a shift. He's got enough gas to let the shot go, and that's about it. He's not going to be able to drive the net. So it's a shot from fairly far out that beats the Sabres goaltender, gives the Jets the 3-2 lead, is also the game-winning goal, and is the Seagram shot of the game.
The Seagram shot of the game.
Big thanks to our friends at Seagram's for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. No matter what you choose to drink, no matter when you choose to drink it, we, one, want you to drink it responsibly, and two, encourage you to choose one of Seagram's terrific products, perhaps Seagram's 83, Manitoba's number one whiskey, available at your local liquor mart or wherever fine liquor products are sold. Big thanks to Seagram's for their support of the show. Barron shows good hustle. He puts pressure, and he's going to, he says that the Sabres have to make the play by having that hustle and by having the determination and by letting the shot go. He's going to say, yeah, it's probably not going to be the best shot I've ever unleashed. It's probably not going to be the prettiest goal that I've ever scored or that's ever been scored, but I'm going to require the Sabres to make the save and make the play. And when you play against a team that is weaker than you and is fragile and has shaky goaltending, you never know when they're not going to be able to make that play. And on this instance, because of Morgan Barron's hustle, because of Cole Perfetti's chip, because of the Jets won the board battle, they get rewarded. Again, not typically how it's going to go, how it's going to score, but it counts all the same, and it's a beautiful goal for Morgan Barron to make it 3-2. This goal coming 3 minutes and 17 seconds after Morrissey tied the game, so the Jets have the lead with just over 6 minutes to go in the third period.
Yeah, and look, you're right, Drew. It's definitely not a goal that you want to let in if you're a netminder. I mean, there's no... The defender's stick is in the vicinity, but doesn't make contact. So you can't blame that. It's just a shot that beats you clean. And you like the fact that Perfetti makes the right play to chip it out and get it out of the zone. And you like that Morgan Barron hustles. And, the former Winnipeg Ice, Peyton Krebs, makes a bit of a mistake and he gets caught flat-footed. And Morgan Barron, what's one of the things that we talk about? his size and using his size. And he kind of runs Krebs over to a certain degree, uses his size to gain possession. And I mean, sometimes it's funny. Hockey's a funny game, right? A shot that 9 times out of 10 gets saved.
Yeah. Well,
on the 10th time,
you unleash it.
On the 10th time, you put it to the net. And you look at the worst scenario, you got it in deep, you get a change for the line, and the next line comes out and you cycle it. But the difference is, here, what I'm saying is you don't turn it over and allow them to come over, which we saw the Jets get burned by, not this game, of course, but the last two games with line changes that cost them goals. So you like that Barron is willing to, because he knows his line's tired, so you like that he's taking it and going at it. And yeah, excuse me, he puts it on net. He's now into double digits. That's his 10th goal of the season. And you like the fact that, what's going on? It ends up, somehow it's 3-2 because, again, like I said, you could just feel the tide was turning when Morrissey got the Jets back into it.
Yeah.
But it's still, obviously, it's anybody's game. That to me, I was going to do the old, wouldn't be able to see the motion, the old backbreaker, because at that point, you know, Buffalo's is hooped, in my mind at least, because it really takes all the wind out of their sails, because A, they don't really have a lot to play for, but B, you know, that it's just deflating when a goalie gives up that kind of goal.
Yeah, I want to highlight this comment from Ronnie, making mention that Luke Konen was on the second half of a back-to-back. He played yesterday against the Vegas Golden Knights, yep, a game that the Sabres won handily. And Don Granato, the Sabres head coach, said no, he's going to go with him for the second straight day because it wasn't that taxing of a workload. Well, I mean, I wonder if maybe Granato is regretting that, or maybe being a little too cute by half and should have gone with Eric Comrie, a guy who certainly knows the Winnipeg Jets, albeit the Jets likewise know him, because
they torched him pretty good in when Buffalo was in Winnipeg, did they not?
Yeah, they did. You're right about
that. Wasn't
that
like a 5-1 game or something?
It was a one-sided game, no question about it. But look, it's just another look, when you don't have a goalie, or when you don't have a number one goalie, a clear-cut number one goalie, that means you don't have, you know, adequate goaltending.
They do in the minors. It's just not ready yet.
Well, Devon Levy's not quite ready yet. So you wonder, though, if you know, Buffalo's maybe regretting that, or Don Granato's regretting that decision to go with Luke Konen again rather than going with Comrie at that point in time. Before that goal this came after the goal, I have to say, of course, is the Lauren Brossoit had a really nice save when it was still 3-2. Jordan Greenway. Jordan Greenway came around the Jets net with a wraparound attempt, and I thought it was one of Brossoit's best saves of the game.
Was it the post or the save, or Brossoit?
I thought Brossoit made the save. I mean, I thought he got across, but
Drew, a goalie would tell you that if it hits the post, it's because he gave the shooter nothing to shoot at. So really, that's part of his save.
Even if
it doesn't count as a shot against.
You know, Jordan Greenway was a player who I thought was very noticeable for the Buffalo Sabres all game long today.
Yep.
And, you know, was certainly involved and active in the play. And this was a big save that kept the Jets lead intact at the 3-2 score. Greenway's got a year left on his contract after this year, just in case anyone was wondering, vis-a-vis the trade deadline coming up on Friday. That was, I thought, a really big play by Lauren Brossoit at that point in time to keep it at 3-2. And then, you know, fair is fair. Luke Konen made that really nice save off of Kyle Connor when Connor came in on a 2-on-1.
Yeah.
I think it was Nemesnikov, if I'm not mistaken, who set Connor up. And then Luke Konen made a nice save there. Again, this is all before the Jets made it 4-2.
He also made that nice save with his head on Eric Comrie
earlier,
where I was trying to get that's using your head tweet in, but it was too late.
Right, the save he made off of Morrissey before the Jets had tied the game. Yeah, that was earlier in the third period. You're right.
No.
So he made some nice saves, but the bad goals he let in, the two of them were glaring, and you know, can easily say that they impacted the final result of today's contest. The Jets make it 4-2. Vlad Nemesnikov, his 8th of the year, he comes into the empty net. This is with a minute 21 to go in the game. Buffalo had pulled the goalie, but really hadn't set up, hadn't pushed, hadn't done anything to make the Jets nervous or think that they're going to tie up the game. I do want to make mention Kyle Connor getting the assist on this one, and Connor with the good hard play on Rasmus Dahlin. Dahlin very casual and soft on it, and Connor said thank you very much, and he forced the turnover that eventually set Nemesnikov up to give the Jets the 4-2 empty net goal, and then the Jets finish it off 5-2. Sean Monahan into the empty net with 54 seconds to go. Assist to Lowry and Appleton. And look, the day after getting 5 goals in the third period, the Jets get 4 goals in the third period today, 2 of them into the empty net. And they're heading home to Winnipeg, winners of back-to-back games Saturday, Sunday, and a 5-2 victory over the Buffalo Sabres tonight. A very tidy Saturday and Sunday for the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, and look, we don't generally break down empty net goals here on the Legal Curve postgame show, Drew, but I will agree with you. First of all, it's a couple of things that I want to make note of. Number one, defending a one-goal lead, he has the Scheifele, Nemestikov, and Connor line on. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, not generally what we expect, but those guys were on, and I guess they're part of that is because they have good hands. And yeah, you're right. Look, you let Dahlin, who, for the record, had 2 monster hits, one on Niederreiter and one on, was it Pionk? I don't remember who, but he had, no, it wouldn't have been Pionk. Maybe it was Appleton. But he had 2 hits, almost inadvertent hits, where he oh, it was Iafallo, I think.
They were
Niederreiter and Iafallo.
Where he reverse hit, we reverse checked both of them.
I don't even know if he did it intentionally. He's just such a big boy that he nailed both guys, and both Jets were just on their butts after trying to make contact with him. But yeah, in this instance, he looks soft, and Kyle Connor goes at him hard and gets the puck, frees the puck up for Vlad Nemestikov. So you like that from Connor because, again, Kyle Connor's never going to he's never going to be a Selke winner. If there's even a neutral zone award, he's never going to win that one. But offensively, you know that he's got the senses to get the puck, and he's a, you know, puck hound in that regard. So he gets that puck, frees it up for Nemestikov, who puts it into the empty net. And then, yeah, you're right. And again, Monahan getting his 8th goal in 8 games for the Winnipeg Jets. That trade is looking fantastic.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you. And I mean, I asked Sean Monahan himself. I asked Cole Perfetti about it. Just that idea of acquiring these guys so well in advance. And look, it's really worked out because he's very enmeshed and very comfortable in this Jet system. So it's another big acquisition by Winnipeg ahead of the trade deadline, which as we all know is coming up in 5 days. And it's just a Jets team that's rolling right now. And so, like I said, 39 wins out of 60 games. This is a Jets team that we've never seen in Winnipeg really to date so far. Well ahead of last year's team, slightly ahead of, well, not slightly, but fairly ahead of the 17-18 team. So while some might think that the Jets are frauds, again, what we're seeing a team that, Drew, I think you and I and probably most of the 500 people would agree need some augmentation and maybe an addition or two,
right?
But certainly not when you have Connor Hellebuyck in net and you have some of the players that this Jets club has. To call them frauds, I think is a fairly strong term.
And
but
you know,
now, I would suspect, to be honest with you,
yeah,
whether it's permeated the locker room, I do not know.
These guys. I mean, you and I both know that players around the league gossip worse than the high school.
Way
so they
worse.
Know the players know who called them a fraud. They know. Because if you watch the clip and it's on the Spitting Chicklets Instagram page, and it's not the Spitting Chicklets themselves. It's not those guys who are saying the Jets are frauds.
No, no.
They're saying Whitney was saying
that it's someone in the Western Conference on a playoff team
that the Jets might play in the first round called the Jets a fraud. So and you know what? The players know. The players will find out and they'll know, and it'll be bulletin board material. So you can don't get mad. Just say thank you to whomever used that line, because I suspect the Winnipeg Jets will gladly use it as motivation whenever they need some.
And let me tell you, there better be Jets fans who have some sort of, like, in the playoffs, not now, but in the playoffs, have some sort of fraud related signage
frauds now, or something like that, some sort
like,
of chat,
like shirts. Like I'm very look. You know, the people malign Winnipeg. We had JT Brown's wife saying basically, like, someone like, I mean, why I care about her opinion, I don't know. I only knew because I saw Jesse.
I missed that one thing.
Well, Jesse Paul like said something about it. So otherwise I would never have known because I don't follow her. But like she basically said, like, waiting for waivers, it's like the worst 24 hours because you're either gonna end up in some small city or Winnipeg. And again, that's the kind of stuff that motivates Winnipeggers. Winnipeggers don't like it. They don't like we're from here. We can make fun of this city.
Right.
If you're not from here, then don't talk. Keep your mouth shut.
Amen. That is the Betway game recap here on the Illegal Curve post game show. When we come back, we got a tough talk, hardest hitting comment. We got some interesting comments from the Jets head coach Rick Bowness about the swap of Ehlers and the Mesnikov. We got a Moose Minute. Lots more to come. Don't go anywhere. It's the Illegal Curve post game show. It rolls on this Sunday evening here on our YouTube channel.
BP's new New York Sicilian square footers. With a thicker crust than ever before, they're light and airy on the inside and oh so crispy on the outside. You're gonna have your work cut out for you.
Okay, fine.
Try the New York Sicilian square footers, only at Boston Pizza.
You guys ever wish for a game changer in life?
Like finding out your favorite snack has zero calories?
Or discovering the mute button on Ezzy?
Picture this, a secret weapon for parking, where you can book a spot a whole month in advance.
Tell me more, Drew.
Pre-book your parking at really low rates, or maybe even for free if you use the code IllegalCurve.
Free? What is this, sorcery?
The Grid Park app. It's a real secret weapon that has affordable game day parking, and to sweeten the deal even more.
I love sweets.
Our listeners can use the code IllegalCurve to park for free.
Holy Zamboni.
Tell me about it. Just download Grid Park, GRYD Park, and use the code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free.
The game can change.
Ah!
Just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to RumorsComedyClub.com.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. Sunday night, welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk will do it all again on Tuesday after the Jets and the Kraken. A back-to-back, a home-and-home situation. Not a back-to-back so much, but a home-and-home between the Jets and the Kraken, albeit one with 2 days off for the Jets in between. They're home on Tuesday to Seattle, then they go to Seattle on Friday, and then head to Vancouver on Saturday for a rematch of that very entertaining game from about, what did that be, about 2 weeks ago. It'll be about 3 weeks. It'll be about 3 weeks between games against the Canucks. The last one in Vancouver was equally entertaining, so I'm sure it'll be a good one on Saturday night as well, which means a couple late nights and early mornings for the Illegal Curve post-game show and the Illegal Curve hockey show. But that's okay. Sleep is for the weak. We'll sleep when we're dead. Unfortunately, that death might be rapid on this pace. That's okay.
That's
we do
true.
It for all you folks. We do it for you folks.
That's why 7JP, 7B saying two hardworking teams got all the points this weekend. Jets and Illegal Curve. JB, you're also forgetting. And the Moose.
Yeah.
So three. Thanks for all your hard work. I see boys this weekend. great work, Chad, as well. So kudos
to the chatters. Get credit too. They work hard coming up with some good quips and good comments and keeping the peace in the chat room on a regular basis as well. So the chat, you know, I'm sure the chat goes through some off season training as well to make sure that they're ready for the grind of the mid March when the games are every second night and things of that nature.
Well, all I know is that on Friday, Drew, what we should just do is the trade deadline ends. What is it? 3 o'clock or is it?
It's 2 o'clock central.
Two o'clock central. 3 o'clock yeah. Eastern time.
Yeah,
we should just do like a 6 hour trade deadline show and then just roll right into, I guess technically actually be longer than that, about 8.5 hours. So not sure we'll do one, but we do have time this week because we do only have the two shows.
That's fine. We'll use the Wednesday, Thursday to recuperate and rest up for the Friday, Saturday excitement. So we'll be fine. Don't worry about it, Dave. We'll be fine. A note from NHL PR, the Jets improved to 18-9-3 on the road with a victory. It marks the first season in franchise history. Now that also includes the Thrashers, not the Jets 1.0. So the first time in Jets 2.0 and Thrashers history that the club has collected 18 wins through their first 30 road games. So Jets performing well on the road in addition to at home, as evidenced by that
A team that's almost first in the NHL has won a lot of games on the road and at home. That's such a shocking concept.
Breaking news there. Here's the comments. Exactly. We'll still do the tough duck, hardest hitting comment, and we'll do the Moose Minute as well. But obviously, even though the Jets won, there were a lot of raised eyebrows when Ehlers was moved off of Scheifele and Connor midway point in that second period. Rick Bowness was asked about that in the course of today's game or in the post-game comments.
Obviously,
why did he make that switch? Quote, "When I don't like what I see, then I make that change. Simple as that." What were his thoughts on the team's response? Quote, "I liked it. It's hard on Nick sometimes to play that right side. I've always said he's better on the left. Vladdy, again, the Swiss Army knife. You can put him anywhere and he does a good job. So we just made that switch halfway through." The problem I have with that comment, and I don't want to be, where he says, "When I don't like what I see, then I make that change." Simple as that. Mm-hmm. I mean, all evidence of Scheifele, Connor, and Vilardi over the last number of weeks has been that it hasn't worked. So unless he's liking their performance, which I think he said he hasn't really liked their performance, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, that. And sometimes, when you don't like what you see, you switch it up. But other times you don't like what you see and you don't switch it up. So you can see how the confusion can come from those sort of two different approaches to something he doesn't like. That would be my comment there. Now, it worked in the sense the Jets had a really good third period. But at the same time, would the third period for the Winnipeg Jets have been as good if Connor, Ehlers, and Scheifele were still together? Well, based on their performance in the first period, maybe it would have been. We won't ever know the answer to that, but I'm going to call a little bit of BS here on some of that comment from the Jets head coach.
True, but I mean, look, at the end of the day, the switch worked in the sense that the Jets won the game. They weren't winning when it was the way it was, and they won when they made the change. So, I mean, and for the record, we're not going to blame Nikolaj Ehlers. It's not all on him, for the reason why they were losing, but maybe he just doesn't like what he sees. Okay. That's fine. That's two players, by the way, that he doesn't like on the right side, Cole Perfetti and Nikolaj Ehlers. So
you think the Jets are in the market for a right winger?
Perhaps the Jets could use a veteran scoring right winger on their team. I don't know, but yeah, that would seem to be the case, Drew, because right now, I mean, again, and I'm of the opinion, I know that people like Ehlers and Scheifele together.
Yeah.
But I like Ehlers and Monahan together. And I'm just repeating what Sean Monahan told us.
Yeah.
That last week.
Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah. And Ehlers reminds him of Johnny Gaudreau. And we know the success. And I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on the Flames. This isn't Flames lunch. Flames dinner or late, really late dinner at this point. But look, it's, I can't tell you how much they played together when they were in Calgary, but he obviously has familiarity playing with a player of that style. And they maybe want to give it a chance to see what it can do. So ultimately, I don't mind it if it's not a demotion of Nikolaj Ehlers, if it's the idea of building chemistry between Sean Monahan and Nikolaj Ehlers, and that's not a problem for me.
Fair enough. Another comment from Jets head coach Rick Bowness. These are all courtesy of Ken Wiebe, who's on the ground in Buffalo covering the game for the Winnipeg Free Press. No surprise, we've known that there's an illness going through the team, but Rick Bowness tells Ken Wiebe that multiple members of the team who played yesterday and tonight are dealing with illness. Quote, there's a lot of fight in this group. There's a lot of pride in this group, and you've got to be very proud of them. So I think the Jets, they're going to travel home. They're going to be off tomorrow. They got to get through that Tuesday game. Get through Tuesday. You might get a couple days away from the rink. Yeah. Maybe get whatever illness, through the team. And so it's no longer such a big deal.
More importantly, can they at least let us know? So when I'm doing media availabilities, I don't know, go do too close to some of these guys who might not be feeling well.
There you go. It's not unreasonable to ask Dave M's help. Dave M is the hardest working man in sports show business.
You really don't want me to be anywhere too close to them, because if I am, I'll infect both teams. Wow. I won't just be affecting the Jets. Right. I'll affect the Moose too.
You're patient zero. They're going to track you down.
Well, technically, I wouldn't be patient zero because I'd be getting it from them, from the Jets. I could bring it into the Moose room.
You can be the patient. You can be the catalyst. How about you're the cause that had it go through the entire organization.
I would be the spreader, Drew.
Yeah.
The super spreader.
You're the super spreader indeed. So there you go. There's some notes from the Jets head coach Rick Bowness earlier tonight, a post game following the Jets 5-2 victory over the Buffalo Sabres. As we mentioned, the Jets won both games on the weekend. So did the Manitoba Moose. Dave will tell us all about it. Here comes your Manuk Moose Minute.
Put on your antlers. It's time for the Manuk Moose Minute on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
That is my time to shine, Drew. The Moose Minute. By the way, as an aside, this is the best part about the chat. And I'm good before I get into the Moose stuff. All these people are pressing one, and I'm like, what did I miss? I missed something because I was looking at Drew. Didn't miss that. And then I think it was Dark Moon that said, press one if you're proud of the Jets. Maybe proud of the Jets and the Moose. I'm not sure, but there were a lot of people pressing one. So I was curious as to what I'd missed. But that explains that for you and myself. But the chat obviously knew what was going on. So the Moose were big winners yesterday, 7-3 over the Texas Stars. So and they scored two empty net goals, and then Nikita Chibrikov scored there. So they scored three of their goals in the last 2 minutes of the game to really put an exclamation point on that one. And you wondered what Texas, who coming into the series, were 17 points up on these same Manitoba Moose. And you wondered what kind of response. Of course, Logan Stankoven up with the big team. Moose aren't complaining. The number one, the leading scorer in the AHL, staying in the NHL. They only made a few changes. Dean Stewart, who got injured in yesterday's game, he was out. Simon Kubicek, no relation to Stan Kubicek, because Simon's from the Czech Republic. He was in a D. Oh, Drew, you like that one. And then Nicholas Jones came out. I haven't
heard a good Stan Kubicek CKND weather reference in a while.
Okay, well, I'm glad I could make your day. And then Nicholas Jones, he came out for Carson Golder, and then Colin Delia got the net. And one of the keys for the Moose of late during this run, this kind of putting them back in contention, has been the goaltending. The Thomas Milic, of course, the Jets 2023 fifth rounder, and Colin Delia, both those guys playing much better. And with that has been a rebirth, if you will, of the Moose. And things got started right after it looked like Christian Reichel had opened the scoring. Colin Delia, the aforementioned, was in the net. He made didn't get an assist on this play, Drew, but he had a heads up play, seeing that the Stars were on a line change. He fed the puck up to Brad Lambert, who got it up to Parker Ford, who got it over to Nikita Chibrikov, who fed it over to Jeff Malott, and suddenly it's a 1-0 game. And the Moose didn't stop there. CJ Cease, he made it 2-0. And what was remarkable on this play, Jeff Malott, of course, getting the assist, shooting it off of Poirier's net. And CJC buries the rebound, but Henry Nikkanen, the 2019 fourth rounder, and yesterday I was joking with Henry because it was hockey day in Finland. I said, you got your first goal, which came in game 36. So he went 35 games. He's a defensive forward, but even he was kind of going like, I got to get something going here. And he got his first goal of the year yesterday. Told him he got the illegal curve bump because we did media this week. And then of course he scores, no coincidence there, but, in hockey day in Finland. And he actually spoke about how impactful it was. So I thought that was interesting how big it was. And they were talking about how it coincided with the Flames honoring Mika Kiprusoff and how it was a big day back in Finland. So Henry Nikkanen gets his second point of the season. He picks up an assist, made a nice little play. So it was 2-0 for the Moose. Good first period. They were rolling. And then about 15 seconds into the, or in a 15 second span, sorry, in the second period, Texas, bang, bang, as Dennis Back says, which is not what you want to hear if you're a fan of the home team, but suddenly it's a 2-2 game. And so the Texas Stars are showing that, you know, they're a pretty good team in the Central. However, Drew, the Moose were not going to allow that to happen. They weren't going to let anyone steal their mojo. Axel Johnsson-Fjällby, he's appeared to have woken up. So he gets his sixth of the year with assists from Mallott and Brad Lambert. And that was about 45 seconds to go in the second period. And then Jeffrey Viel, who, you know, he did not ride his stick. But Jeffrey Viel, although it was funny because I know that I mentioned how I asked him about it a couple of days later. And he said, that's the thing I like about guys like that. Jeffrey's like very honest, right? He's like, yeah, I did it to piss those guys off. Like other guys would be like, yeah, he's just doing it for fun. Or I thought it was cool. It's like, yeah, I was just going to try and piss them off. But anyways, Jeffrey Viel, he got his, I think it was his 12th of the season. He's been scoring more of late. So he makes it a 4-2 game early in the third period. AJF got his second of the game, 7th of the season. That made it 5-2. And then Henry Nikkanen, I've been mentioning him a lot, Drew. He had a goal and 2 assists in this one. So Henry gone wild this weekend. 2 goals, 2 assists for him in games 36 and 37. He makes it 6-2, and that is the way it would end. The Moose sweep the 2-game set with the Stars, winning 6-2, and that's their third straight win. 13 goals for Manitoba as they move back into a playoff spot ahead of 6 straight games against division rivals coming up, I believe, starting with Milwaukee on Wednesday.
So you're saying 23 goals scored by the Moose and the Jets combined in the 4 games over the weekend. No wonder that they ended up on the winning side of the ledger so often. Both teams lighting the lamp, respectively, in downtown and in Raleigh and Buffalo as well.
And I was going to say, Drew, that's a good thing we weren't doing an Illegal Curve post-game Moose show, because I could only imagine all the goals, although they had a lot of empty net goals.
Yeah.
So perhaps we wouldn't have had to done quite as many goals, but ultimately, it was a busy day, but it's always a good day for Jets fans in Manitoba and around the world when the Jets win, the Moose win, and you get a lot of Illegal Curve. Illegal Curve hockey on Saturday. Illegal Curve post-game show yesterday. Illegal Curve post-game show today.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, though, because the Jets and Moose are both off.
You'll find something to do. Maybe there'll be a big trade. Maybe they'll make the trade tomorrow.
LegalCurve.com will be pumping out content tomorrow.
Exactly. In case you missed any of the content from the week, it's all here on our YouTube channel. It's also on our website, LegalCurve.com. We'll wrap up tonight's post-game show with the Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment.
The Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment.
I'm going to give the tough duck hardest hitting comment to a new friend of ours here in the chat. Somebody who's not a Jets fan, but has enjoyed the banter and has enjoyed the community and has enjoyed the communal nature and friendly discussions that have come about in our frequent chat room. Curtis Joseph, former goaltender, is a big fan of the show now. He's popped in and listened, and when the Jets went through that rough spell, he commented that the team is fine and not to panic. So Curtis Joseph, I don't know if it's the goaltender Curtis Joseph or if it's just somebody with the same name. I presume it's probably somebody with the same name, but if it is Cujo, that would be kind of cool as well. In any event, it's a nice comment, and you've been a fan, and you know, I think you said you're a Leafs fan, but we welcome all people here on the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. So Curtis Joseph, Cujo is what we're going to call you. Send me an email, drew@illegalcurve.com, or slide into my DMs at ICDrew, and we're going to hook you up with a Tough Duck toque, courtesy of our friends at Tough Duck, proud sponsors of the Illegal Curve post-game show, proud sponsors of us here at Illegal Curve. And of course, Tough Duck has just been one of the best pieces, best winter garments you can get your hands on. So congratulations to Cujo, Curtis Joseph, for winning Tough Duck's hardest hitting comment for tonight's Illegal Curve post game show. If he left the chat, hopefully he'll catch it on the podcast.
Well, people just have to let him know.
Yeah, people let him know. Let him know that he has to go back and watch it if he missed it. But we've saluted him, and he just needs to send me an email. You folks,
I tried. I tried my hardest, Drew, to find that information about the weekend sweep. I did a little search of my name, and I was hoping that I would find something. I was going back to 2019, 2017, but nothing that told me. You know, I'll text the Moose people right now. It's too late now to find out the answer for this show, but I'll find out for Tuesday, and I'll have an answer and get everyone, or I'll do some research and I'll tweet it out. I see.
There you go. I see. I gave you some homework, something to keep you busy on the Monday when there's no Moose and no Jets.
For the record, Drew, see, we asked people to make sure they hit the subscribe. I just checked. Five new subscribers joined already tonight. So let's keep that rolling. Let's get another 10, 15 subscribers. Come on, folks. Legal Curve, your home for Jets, Moose, pro hockey news in Manitoba.
Well, Tico Napoli tells me that Reed Carruthers is going to an extra end. So before we wrap up, I want to remind everyone, Illegal Curve, proud media sponsor of the Rady JCC sports dinner coming up May 28th. One of the best dinners on the calendar. Great memorabilia, great prizes, a great night out. And of course, you'll get to hear from Grant Fuhr, Doug Gilmore, and Wendell Clark. So be sure to join us May 28th at the RBC Convention Center. For more information, RadyJCC.com, or get in touch with any of the three of us and we'll give you information on how to get your tickets for this great sports dinner coming up May 28th, 2024. Great weekend for the Winnipeg Jets. Great weekend for the Manitoba Moose. Big thanks to all of you for joining us all throughout the weekend and making this so much fun. In case you missed any of it, it's all available on our YouTube channel. It's all available on our website. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Grid Park, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Farmery Beer. Jets win 5-2 in Buffalo. For DM Dave Manuk, I'm DM Drew Mandel. IllegalCurve.com, the YouTube channel. Smash it, like it, tell your friends. We'll see you Tuesday night after the Jets and the Kraken. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Until then, we wish you good night and good luck. And thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, IllegalCurve.com.